Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are today, whether you're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere, whether you're in the Pacific, Australasia, through Asia, right up through Europe, right the way through the Americas, Canada, South America. We actually get heard all the way around the world with our links through Overseas Radio Network and also through our escape artist, Vanuatu.com. We actually are lucky enough to be heard by many, many people, and of course we do a mail out every week to our 3,000-odd sophisticated investors that we have in our database. Good morning to all of you sophisticated investors. Today we've got a different show. Again, we don't have Brian with us and we don't have Corey Cates or David Gregerson, but we will have them back with us soon, I'm sure. There's been some small delays in getting started on the new radio show, but that's of no consequence really, because we're still publishing and we're still getting our information out to our listeners. But what a week, the week that was. Easter. Easter's a very, very... I hope you all had a good Easter and I hope you all got eggs. I know I sent a text to my daughter and I said to her, I hope you got eggs for Easter, and she sent back and said, yes, I did. And same to you. Have a good Easter, she said. So I'm sure everybody in the Southern Hemisphere knows that Easter is a time where here in Australasia, it's really probably the start of our winter. It's when all of a sudden you start getting the jumpers out and you start saying, oh, well, you know, that summer's gone already. I used to complain about how hot it was, but, oh, gee, I wish it was back. And same old story, the grass is always greener on the other side. And quite frankly, the grass in Sydney prices, Australia real estate prices, I am absolutely amazed. I cannot believe the sustaining values that they are getting. Over Easter, nobody ever advertises, because it's a public holiday. You know, we here in Australia and New Zealand and other parts of the world, you know, afternoon, we all go home a little bit early, maybe half an hour, quarter of an hour. We go home. People who've got children go home a bit earlier because they want to pack the car up and they're going to escape the city. They're going to run away from the city. An exodus happens and the highways are clogged with people leaving the city to go to a beach area. They're going here in Sydney. They might be going down to the south coast. They might be going down to Batemans Bay, for example. We should do a show on Batemans Bay. It's a great spot. They might be going north to Nelson Bay, or they might be going up to Port Macquarie or to Foster. Or some of them, they might be striking out for a bit of a longer run and be heading off to Queensland and to the Gold Coast or the Sunshine Coast, getting on a plane. But what actually happens is that all of a sudden Sydney becomes quiet. But we still had auctions last week, and I have a roundup. I couldn't believe it when I checked the other day that we still had auctions over Easter. You wouldn't normally put your property up over Easter for sale, because who will attend the auction? Not very many people. Well, I have to report to you that in Sydney last week, when we shouldn't have any auctions, we actually had auctions, and there was only 34 of them. But listen to this, there was a 68% clearance rate. Maybe there was a madness in the thinking that everybody else was not going to have an auction, and if you had an auction, you would get a great price and more people bidding for it. Well, look, the average last week is a record. It has to be a record. People will say, well, look, it wasn't a real auction week. There wasn't, you know, 600 properties for sale. There was only 34. Yeah, but the average was 1,375,000, and there was a 68% clearance rate. So it was still a good clearance rate. It wasn't the 80%. But then again, you didn't have a lot of competition. There was only 34 houses being sold, and the average of 1,375,000. Now, that's a record for an average price in Australia, I would say, for housing. Melbourne, well, they only had, you know, that 13 auctions, only about 7 cleared. The average was about 662. Brisbane only had 9 auctions, but the average was 406,000. We've got no figures for Adelaide this week. They just weren't published. But, you know, the thing that's happening here that we have to discuss is that, you know, things are still on the up and up in Australia. This week they were talking about a possible reduction of interest rates down this month, but the Reserve Bank held firm at their current interest rate. They didn't reduce it. But the thing that's happening in the suburbs that I'd like to point out to you in the show this morning is that Bellmark in Northern Territory is still the number one suburb with an increase of 75%. Ryde, and the Bellmark is a new suburb. It's an old suburb with a new subdivision attached to it. But Ryde in Sydney is the second, and it's increasing at 33% per annum. Oakley is up 32%. That's another old suburb of Sydney. South Melbourne has appeared on this list for the first time, and that's up 31%. And then lastly, and bringing up the rear, is another Sydney suburb called Merrylands, which is the fastest growing suburb of 30%. So these are the fastest growing suburbs in Australia. Bellmark, Northern Territory, Ryde, Oakley, South Melbourne, and Merrylands. Now, Ryde, Oakley, South Melbourne, and Merrylands are old suburbs. They're suburbs that were developed many years ago, like, oh, we're talking 50 years ago, 60 years ago, even longer, 100 years ago, for South Melbourne. I mean, South Melbourne's a very old suburb, but these old suburbs are now being, you know, having new air, new oxygen, pushed into them with the new suburbs, the new, redevelopment, the pulling down of the old houses, and the building of units. And in Melbourne this week, again another record, we've actually had a penthouse sold in Melbourne for $25 million, and it's been sold at Australia's development called 108 Penthouse, smashed the national price record. It's basically the previous highest one was $19 million. Now this penthouse is spread over the entire 100th floor, and what will be the Southern Hemisphere's tallest building. And this is, the most expensive single apartment ever sold in Australia. The buyer, a businessman, have a guess where he comes from. I'm sure you're not scratching your head. Yeah, he's from China. And of course his identity has not been disclosed, but he has linked off the planned deal. CBRE, the real estate company, has confirmed all this. The building has started and it is due for completion in 2019. So this sale launches Melbourne to the national stratosphere of luxury real estate. You know, the previous best price was actually received in Bondi for two apartments for a combined $25 million in November last year. So off the plan purchase of penthouses are very, very, I suppose, in will now be in the foremost. Everybody who's got a high-rise development is going to be looking at his penthouse, and he's going to be saying, oh, look, I think I might make that a bit bigger. I might include, you know, the rooftop. I might include half a floor below because, hey, if you can get $25 million or $20 million for a penthouse, that's a substantial piece of the total construction of the actual property itself. You know, I would have to say to you that if you're going to build something that's maybe 20 floors, you could have a construction cost of $40 million plus. If you can sell the penthouse for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 million, that's, wow, that really makes your building work for you. What have I got more to say about it? Well, it's a big penthouse. It's 750 square meter. It will hover in the clouds at 319 meters above South Bank Promenade. If you know what Melbourne is like, it does get quite a bit of cloud down there. but they have absolutely beautiful days, and the views will just be absolutely, you know, spectacular from this building. And it will have its own grand foyer. Well, 25 million, you'd want to have your own lift, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to be sharing the lift with other people who live in the building. You're pretty special when you've got a $25 million apartment. But this apartment will take a 360-degree vista of the city, the bay, and the mountains, the Dandenongs. It's just going to be a wonderful thing. And, of course, this actually sets the scene for 2015 and 2016. You know, there is no shortage of buyers. We've just had this reported to us that this particular development has had over 1,000 apartments sold. They do expect to have this completely built and sold out by that date of 2019. And this sale is going to bring other developers into Melbourne and looking at wanting to get their project in there and sort of also pick up on this fabulous pricing. Okay, well, that's enough about the real estate in Sydney this week, or the real estate in Australia or Melbourne. We've got some unusual things happening here in Australia at the moment with the government. We've got a budget coming up in May. Traditionally, things go quiet before the budget. We really are sheep in Australia, and we're waiting to see what the budget is going to do before we make a decision on what we're going to invest. But one place that you can think about investing now, and I'm going to do the rest of the show on it today, is Vanuatu. And I've got some, and you say, yeah, well, hang on a minute, I just had a cyclone go through it. Yeah, it did. But from every seed of defeat is one of equivalent benefit. And I'm going to have a break now and come back after the break. And I'm going to be just doing the show today by myself because I've got a lot to share with you about Vanuatu and a lot to share with you about the possibilities of making a very good return on your money from investing in this amazing nation in the South Pacific that we love so much. And so we'll be right back with Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific after this break.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares. You could have invested in Google. You could have bought gold 3 years ago. But did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation, and now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. One cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit-outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood, a hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it. And we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-class licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 401-700-7792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61-417-00-7792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417-00-7792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
Well, welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. Thank you for participating and opening our emails and listening to our broadcast. We do appreciate it. Hey, we'd love to get some feedback from you. So please take the time to give us some feedback or concepts or ideas or something you maybe would like to hear on the show or something you'd like to hear about. We would absolutely love to get that feedback from you. We do value our relationship with you, and we hope that we're providing some sort of information that you find helpful in not only hearing about the lifestyles and real estate of the South Pacific, but some of my, discussions and talking to different people about their lifestyle. I don't have a guest on this week, and I struggled with this, to be very frank with you. There was something that said to me, this week is not a guest week. Why? I think I've had something on my mind for a while, and I've been looking to try and share it with you, or basically looking to share it with many people. One of the things, of course, that's been the catalyst of this is the cyclone Pam that hit Vanuatu on the 13th of March 2015, and I was ready to fly to Vanuatu with a whole group of investors that I'd spent pretty much close to 18 months putting together. We had 14 people booked to go over. We had 4 days in Vanuatu with meetings with from the Deputy Prime Minister to the Prime Minister and to members of the Reserve Bank and World Trade Organization, International Monetary Fund, all sorts of the mayor of Port Vila, and this cyclone came along. Basically, I had to phone people up on 7:30 on the Saturday morning and say, look, guys, stay in Hong Kong. Guys in Sydney, go home. Don't go to the airport. We the planes aren't flying. And that's a month ago this coming Monday. Boy, what's happened in a month? And this is the thing I've been wishing to share with you. And I've got a bit of knowledge about what's been happening in Vanuatu because I look at it every day. I'm interested. I've searched for knowledge. I search for information about Vanuatu, about the cyclone, about business, so I can share it. And this is one of the things you've got to do when you're involved in property development in a particular area. You really have to keep your finger on the pulse, and you've got to know about what infrastructure spending is happening. You've got to know about employment rates. You've got to know everything about the area. You have to become an absolute specialist and hone in on it. So I've been doing what I normally do, is honing in on Vanuatu, and I've got some most surprising figure for you today. Is that in my tally, and remembering I'm saying in my tally from telling up all the news stories and government releases and people I know, I've come up to the point that since the last 12 months, since about January, February 2014, when the communication cable was actually landed or started operating in Vanuatu, in Port Vila. The cable was brought in on Mallee Beach, and then it took him a while to get it going, and now we have 4G there. That cost $48 million to do that. But since that point, up until this last week, Vanuatu has had the most amazing figure of about $488 million worth of infrastructure investment started, infrastructure investment pledged, donated, money donated from the results of Cyclone Pam. And this is only what I've got that's been reported. I believe that after Cyclone Pam, the hotels in Vanuatu, which were empty for the couple of days, because of the cyclone, they then filled up with aid workers from around the world. Several of the hotels have taken, they're digressing a little bit, several of the hotels have taken this opportunity because they have a clause in their contract for lack of or disruption to income. They're taking this time now to close their resorts and upgrade them, because there's nothing surer than we need more upgraded hotel rooms in Vanuatu. So all the hotels were after, you know, the initial shock and the plane started flying again. The hotels filled up with aid workers from around the world, a non-profit organization, representatives representing, you know, the Russian government, the Chinese government, the Australian, the New Zealand, the, you know, governments from all around the world sent evaluation groups. The churches, of course, you know, who have always been fabulous supporters of people in distress, they would have sent, you know, the Roman Catholic, the Presbyterian, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Christadelphians, etc., etc., etc. And then on top of that, you've got the people. I've had people who have called me and said, one in particular, I won't mention his name, but he rang me up and said, look, I'm ready to get on a plane and go over. I don't need a bed. I've got a tent. I'll take my own tent and I'll go over there and camp and I'll be willing to help you. And I said, look, to be very frank, at this point of time, you're far too early. Let the professionals go in, and then later down the track, we'll obviously be able to find something that you can help with. But what's happened is that Vanuatu has had, according to my tally yesterday morning, $488 million worth of pledges of assistance and help since February last year. Just to read them out to you, first of all, there was the $48 million communication cable, the South Pacific bringing 4G web services. That was, I think, privately funded. I might have had some money from China. I wouldn't be surprised. Then there's the $18 million 600-seater seminar conference center, which is being funded by the Chinese government, Jiangsu province, and that's going to be finished, they believe, in August. And incidentally, during the cyclone, the building itself, it's so solid, it wouldn't have moved an inch, a millimeter. Whatever, it wouldn't have moved a razor blade. It's such a strong and well designed building. Number three on the list, $88 million from the USA dollars. $88 million. That's about, you know, about another 20%. That's $100 million, over $100 million AUD. Seminar conference center, a bigger part of the container wharf and cruise boat wharf. That's what it is. $88 million USA, new container wharf, cruise boat wharf. Now, that's being funded with Japanese money. What a change that's going to make, having in the Southern Hemisphere. We interviewed the manager of that particular project, of that development, the project manager of it, and as he said, it's going to be, when it's finished, even though it's a small little teardrop of an island, it's going to be the most modern container handling wharf in the world when it's open, because they're using all the modern technology. So, you know, little small place up there with the equivalent of any container handling computer set up in the world. $38 million from the European Development Fund. That's over a number of years, but that's also been pledged. $36 million from the World Bank. There was a request for $36 million by the Vanuatu government to the World Bank. We're not 100% sure the outcome of that, but we will keep our eye on it. We'll report to you. Number seven, $29 million, Newport Villa Harbour beautification. That's by the New Zealand government. And in the paper last week, the the paper was urging for this to start immediately, because the harbour did get quite a belting. You know, there's the CBD area of Port Vila is set back from the harbour. A fair way in some cases. The business high rises are, you know, 100 metres, 150 metres, you know, back. So that beautification of that park is because there's so many tourists coming, that they, you know, needs to be upgraded. And this is where the markets, some of the markets were, and, there's a sound shell down there where they often have bands playing. And it could be a very picturesque and beautiful place. And having $29 million to upgrade that, it's going to be fantastic. $39 million, number 8, is roads and services in Port Vila, Australia government. Bob Carr had, when he was finance minister, had approved that. And that's about to start. And that's, all the roads and sewerage are going to be done up. So, number 9, is, you know, 1.5 million Australian aid from Cyclone Pam. Number 10, going back to that Cyclone Pam, we don't know the figure on that. That figure will be produced, and I think it's going to be, you know, an amazing figure. Number 10, 1.5 million from the US Cyclone Pam. Number 11, 1.5 million UK aid from Cyclone Pam. Number 12, 1 million Asian Bank has pledged 1 million and also spent 1 million, I might add, obtaining and purchasing a site in the main street on the harbour for its new bank, and it's going to produce a building there. Well, you know, that building's going to cost 10, 12 million to build, maybe less, maybe more, but that, you know, that's roughly what buy is. So I think it's only about 6 floors. So it could be in 18 million, something like that, on top. Number 13, 36 million Shanghai Construction has pledged for the development of the second wharf on the Espirito Santo Island. This wharf will also be set up for containers and also from cruise ship development as well. I'm going to be speaking about the cruise ship development to you. 14, 68 million World Bank pledge for aviation upgrade project. That came out about a week and a half ago. Now, I don't know 100% how that's going to be used, but when President Xi Jinping came out, he said, well, what we should do is to upgrade your airport. We will help you at the main airport, Bayer Field, which is named after an American pilot and who gave his life defending the freedom of democracy in the Pacific in World War II. Digressing a little bit, what happened was Wing Commander Bayer went out and was fighting the Japanese and got shot down. He got rescued by a boat. He got brought back. They put him back in another plane, and he flew out again almost straight away. And he passed the point of no return with petrol and or fuel, and kept fighting until the plane ditched and he was killed. So they named the airfield after him, which was built in 1945, you know, during the war. So it really needs upgrading desperately. And of course this 68 million pledge for aviation upgrade, I think you'll probably see the Chinese come in. Chinese government, as President Xi Jinping said, will help you rebuild your airport and with the World Bank. So I expect to hear another report with regard to some more funding from that coming from China. 15, 39 million raised by the United Nations Humanitarian Fund. And so all those together come to a total of $481.9 million. I think I said 488 before. I apologise. It's $481.9 million. And since I wrote that, I do know that there's another $2 million that has been pledged. So we're now up to, you know, pretty close to 484. Now, $484 million in a country that only has a GDP of 250 million. So in 12 months, I know I've gone back before Pam, but I think it was important for what I'm going to be saying to you shortly, that you realize that this is a 12-month period where this little nation, who really does need and deserve this aid and assistance, has basically been pretty much ignored by the rest of the world until it became a member of the World Trade Organization, has now had almost double its GDP in the last 12 months. And the next 6 months or 12 months, I believe that you're going to see enormous pledges from all those aid workers who have been in there and who have then reported back to their reported back to their board of directors, their corporations, their governments, the people who make the decisions on what how they can help Vanuatu. And people are going to go back and say, well, look, first of all, they need new schools. Most of the schools have lost their roofs. They're going to need new buildings. They're going to need new schools. And when we build the schools, you know, we should be giving them, now that they've got 4G and the telecommunications, we should be granting them or giving them assistance with computers for training. And so I think you're going to see the education divisions of the Vanuatu Islands. I think you're going to see education centres improving enormously for their primary school, secondary school. Only a short number of people go on to high school because, see, schooling in Vanuatu is not free. You have to pay to go to school. Mums and dads have to find the money. So I feel that you're going to see the world come to the aid with education in Vanuatu, and I hope that does happen. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Secondly, medical. You know, we had our hospital was affected by the storm, and the Australian government sent over a group from Darwin, and they took a field hospital and set it up within, you know, 4 or 5 days. I think it was almost the first Hercules that went over, and they set up a field hospital. And medical supplies, you know, coming in from China. And China sent five charter planes with $5 million worth of humanitarian aid, plus rice and noodles, food that was desperately required because the Vanuatu people, they lost their gardens. I mean, their whole crops were, not only were their houses blown away, but all their crops were actually blown away as well. So, continuing on, these aid workers who have come to look at Vanuatu, who are working with the Vanuatu government, I'm sure they're saying, well, how can we help, you know? What can we do to help this little nation? And the Prime Minister, Joe Nunneman, and this will be attached to our email this week, came out and said, Cyclone Pam, is a blessing in disguise. He said, yes, it's terrible, and it is terrible that, you know, we've lost 11 lives. But, you know, those 11 lives, it could have been much, much worse. I mean, the Vanuatu people have been living with cyclones in the South Pacific for as long as they've been in the South Pacific. The Lapita people is the name of the first people that went to Vanuatu, and when they found some tombs not far from Pacific Haven Resort, where that is, in Tuma Bay. It was the first place they landed. They carbon dated them back to 3,000 years before Christ. So they're before, you know, that's when they first discovered, people first discovered on Vanuatu. So it's just amazing that they've been living with cyclones all through this period of time. And, you know, they build their houses to suit cyclones. They don't build high houses. They build their houses low. They build them. People say, you know, why do they build them? Why don't they build block, or why don't they use corrugated? Well, they build them low because they build them with timber, and they build them with Ngatanguru roofs, which is a flax roof, and they build them low, and they bind them together with vines because the air can go through them. And I mean, this storm was 320 kilometres an hour, 200 miles an hour. I mean, that would blow anything away. It blew containers down the street. You know, it just blew their houses to smithereens. And And but in the villages, they build their houses. They know when a cyclone's coming. They clean up before a cyclone because of the radio station telling them. They clean up before the cyclone. There's cyclone. It's part of life in living in the tropics, that we do get cyclones through the South Pacific, but never anything as large as Cyclone Pam, and something that basically almost did a direct hit on Port Vila and also on Tanner Island. So the thing that's also happened this week is that the cruise boats have started going back into Vanuatu and into Port Vila, and we get a cruise boat, booked cruise boat. We get 180 cruise boats the last 12 months. That's every 1.9 days. There's a cruise boat with 1,500 to 2,000 people arriving into Vanuatu or into Port Vila. And Peter Taylor, who is the second in charge of Carnival, told me when we interviewed him several months ago that, you know, they were doing an audit on how much benefit that the cruise boats bring to Port Vila or to the islands. And every cruise boat that comes in produces an expenditure in the area of around about $240,000. So if you multiply a cruise boat every 2 days or three a week, there's $750,000 coming into Port Vila in income, which that's changing the way people live. It's giving people jobs. It's giving people income. And the people keep coming because Vanuatu is a very beautiful place. Ron Crawford said to me last night, Ron I interviewed on the show as well, he's the director of Vanuatu Sustainable Timber. And he said to me, look, in a month you won't even know that there's been a cyclone. Trees are getting their leaves back on. People have said to me, downtown Vila looks as good as it looked before the cyclone, if not better. But they're out there painting, they're upgrading, they're taking the time to try and, because this is their lifeblood, this is their shop. You know, I came up with a saying this morning and it said, you know, in Vanuatu, our smile is our logo, our island is our shop. And the way that they look after you and their hospitality is their trademark. And so I think that's the best way to describe tourism in Vanuatu. And I think it will rebound very, very quickly. And the opportunities are there right now for people to invest. From every seat of defeat, there's one of equivalent benefit. And right now is a very good time to buy because there's going to be a building spike in Vanuatu. You're going to see the GDP is, they've already just, I've explained to you, they've just got twice the amount of monetary income flowing through the country in the last 12 months as they normally get in a normal year of GDP. Now, obviously, the tourism's taken a hit. I spoke to someone in Air Vanuatu and they said, yeah, look, we've probably lost at least 50% of our bookings. But look, you know, it will come back. Everything does bounce back. We only have 2,000 rooms in Vanuatu. We don't have 20,000 rooms. We've only got 2,000 rooms. Only 400, 500 of those rooms are 3.5 star or above. So it's the perfect opportunity for the hoteliers and tourism people of Vanuatu to take this downtime and turn it into a productive upgrading time of the hotels, paint them out, renovate, change, organize. And in the bigger hotels, they're getting paid by the insurance company for loss of profits while they're doing this. So it's a perfect time for Ariki Island, Holiday Inn, to upgrade their older rooms, upgrade them and paint them and get them looking very, very compatible, because there's a whole lot of new resorts that are going to be coming to Vanuatu. Enormous interest is coming in from all around the world, because people hadn't heard of Vanuatu, and the Prime Minister said this is a blessing in disguise because everybody knows where Vanuatu is now. They didn't know before, and they've seen vision. Yes, they've seen destructive vision, but they've also seen great vision of how beautiful it is. Only a percentage of the islands was affected by the cyclone. There's 83 islands there. Some of the islands, you know, the only effect was rain. And they still have their beauty, they still have their beautiful beaches, their lovely people. They're fantastic organic food. You know, it's a volcanic island, so this group of islands, so the soil is rich, and they grow vegetables and organic food, and through the roof you would pay for it, and if it was in the shops in Australia or New Zealand or America or China, because the food is, when you eat it, you know straight away it's so natural. And it's the same with their beef, their Santo beef. It's organic beef, and it just tastes so much better. And of course the fish, coming out of the water, I mean, they, and the seafood, the crabs, etc., you know, they haven't been affected by the cyclone. They're under the water when the cyclone came through. So, you know, you can still fish there and get fabulous catches. So my show today, but really, is to just to bring you up to date and sort of let you know that the opportunity for investment in Vanuatu is probably almost on the Richter scale of 10 at the moment, depending purely and simply on the future of the redevelopment of tourism and the redevelopment of the Vanuatu Islands. Now, we have a series of projects that we promote, such as the Malekula Pawpaw Farms. We've got a verbal order from China to take the total crop. We've got property there that we're offering for sale in the Vanuatu Farm at One Acre Blocks. And just recently, we've also organised 100% finance for people to purchase the blocks of land. If you are an approved client, we can introduce you to a finance company that will loan you the full amount of money to buy a property, $13,950, and you can tag your costs and legals and stamp duties of $2,700 on that. So you can borrow, say, $17,000 personal loan, and your repayment's $107 a week over 5 years. And, you know, you would have to talk to your accountant, but the $6,000 that is used to develop the farm, more than likely he'd be able to claim that as a taxation deduction. But I can't give tax advice. You've got to talk to your accountant about that. With regard to Pacific Haven Resort, we're negotiating with scuba divers to come in and scuba diver company to come in and set up a academy. And we have to change our thinking. So what the director has done, and with my suggestion as well, is that we're going to offer fractionalized bungalows, and that means where four people can buy one bungalow. The requirement is $18,000 deposit, and from each four people, and a repayment of $350 monthly. And of course, you'd split the cost of the legals and stamp duties between the four people. But that would mean that you'd be able to come and use it for a week a year. Each owner could come and use it for a week a year. It'd only cost you $18,000 to get started. And again, if you're an approved applicant, we can get our finance guy to talk to you about giving you a personal loan for the $18,000. And then, of course, you'll have the rental income coming back in from the bungalow. Breakers Resort, which is what this development is styled on, they charge $1,600 for 6 nights. For garden farays, for farays that have a water view, they charge $2,500 for 6 nights. Now, we're actually saying to people, that's per week. We're actually saying to people that, you know, these bungalows could make $1,000 a week. And that would be more than sufficient after costs taken out of it to make the repayment to the bank. So, you know, it's positively geared. That's what I'm trying to say with that. So, you know, that's available. We also have the investment in the timber, which is the forestry. Well, if we're going to have a building spike in Vanuatu, there's going to be enormous requirement for timber. And if we start milling our timber with Vanuatu sustainable timber, we can supply good hardwood for the construction, for decking, flooring, architraves, furniture, and also for beams in roofs, because it's such a strong timber, and that can be used for that. And lastly, of course, we've got two developments which are residential developments. One is the La Plata Estate, which we're just waiting for the titles to come out of the titles office. One of our delays is with the cyclone, everything closed down. And most of the people who live in Port Vila basically have come there, not most, but a lot of them have come from other islands. So when the cyclone was coming, a lot of them went home before the cyclone, a lot of them went home after the cyclone to help their families re-establish their houses and farms or whatever it may be. So we've been delayed getting those titles out, but I've been assured that, you know, as soon as things get back to normal, we should have the titles out in the next, 4 to 6 weeks. So we've got land subdivision where you can buy a block of land and put a house on it in the La Plata Estate, just, 3, 4, 5 minutes drive from downtown Port Vila. Or on top of that, we actually have the blocks of land in Chuma Bay in the Pacific Haven development, which is water view lots, and we'll be advising shortly of a house and land package that we're going to be supplying, or a two-bedroom bungalow house and land package at a very, very affordable rate. I can't tell you more about that because I haven't locked it down with the construction costs, but hopefully by next week I'll have that for you as well. So look, this is my show this week. It has been all about talking about Vanuatu and what I see the future there. And as Prime Minister Nadiman said, this Cyclone Pan has been a blessing in disguise, because there's nothing surer than in the next 12 months you're going to see a little town that's the same size as Sunbury in Victoria, Albury in New South Wales. You're going to see a little town of only 35,000 people. You're going to see it blossom with new harbour, new container wharf, new cruise boat wharf, more cruise boats coming in than ever before, new roads, new sewage system, new airport is on its way. You're going to see upgrading of the hotels. You're going to see new resorts going in there. From every seat at your feet, there's one of equivalent benefit. From every ill wind, somebody will benefit from the misfortune of others. It's just the law of nature. And you're going to see a lot of money flowing into Vanuatu from around the world, from the other 156 members of the World Trade Organization, who are more than willing to help Vanuatu in its time of need. And, of course, the people of Vanuatu can't be more appreciative for this help. And I think it's probably long overdue. They're only 2 hours flight from Brisbane. In fact, Vanuatu and Port Vila is closer to Brisbane than what Melbourne is. You know, it's closer than you think. It's only 2 to 3 hour flight away from Sydney. We've got direct flights, or one-stop direct flights, coming in from Hong Kong via Port Moresby in this new link-up between Air New Guinea and Air Vanuatu. And I can see nothing but a bright future for Vanuatu. So until next week, I'll say goodbye now on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. I hope you found this show interesting. And from the people who have helped with donations to Vanuatu on the behalf of the people of Vanuatu, I'd like to say thank you very much. And please send a little bit more, whether it's through Red Cross or Oxfam. You know, they can that money will be used to help the people, and they do require people who have very little have lost everything, and there'll be more to report on this in the future. So, from Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific, we say goodbye. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Dreams and goals are so important, don't you agree? Most of us have a dream location to relocate to. 85% of tourists recently surveyed wanted to own their own waterfront bungalow. You see, it's an investment and could be an income-producing property for your retirement. Or, if you're ready to relocate now, a South Seas island sounds okay to me to just become a beachcomber with a laptop. If this resonates with you, then you have to call or email Richard Butler, the sponsor of this show. Ask Richard, a project manager for property developers in the Republic of Vanuatu, who have one-bedroom waterfront resort bungalows from $199,950. Yes, from $199,950. What value that is! But there is more. From only $399,000 for amazing three-bedroom, two-story holiday homes that you can use when you pre-book and will supply you with amazing passive income returns. Imagine waterfront bungalows that can return $200 to as much as $800 a day rental. Plus, Richard informs of the new Le Plateau residential estate with three-bedroom house and land from $255,000. Which the local banks state they will finance approved clients from 20% to 30% deposit. Email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com or call him on country code 61-417-007-792.